All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Ryan, and I am a nicotine addict. And speaking of time, the reason I think why I'm up here tonight is on the 15th of this month, I celebrated a year, and it's taken a long time to be able to even say that or think that. You know, anyway, I'll give you just a little bit of history on where I come from. I'm also a, in other recovery, alcohol, drugs, and I can make a whole list of other things, ACOA, but I'm not going to get into any of that. But I'm making a point about that because, I have friends of mine that just use the 12 steps. From another group, from what they call around here the parent group, I guess you could say. And they were able to quit. And it didn't work for me. I had to come here. I don't know why that is, but it is. And I'm glad that Nicotine Anonymous is and was here for me. Because I don't know if I could have, quit in the other rooms. Like I said, I just needed this. Or put it this way, this is the only thing that worked for me. So that's really where I start, and I'll tell you I made 50 this year, 50 years old, and I had a few months sober for my 50th birthday, but the it's taken what it takes. I have in alcohol and alcohol recovery. I have 14 years clean and sober. And it took me 13, I assume, to finally get to the point to where I was ready to stop or tackle the recovery of nicotine, because I really didn't see it as a, I'll put it this way, I wanted to continue smoking, if you want to know the truth. I wanted nicotine, and not the consequences. That's what I wanted, but that's not anything that's ever going to happen. I've learned that. And I was really starting to get the ill effects of using nicotine, and there was a piece of me that was getting bigger and bigger. I wanted to stop, and I think that's one of the things that I say it in meetings sometimes. It works because we want it to work, you know, and that's really it. I really want this thing to work, and I've been coming to a few more meetings in the last month or so because, I call it squirreliness, but I got a little, you know, I started having more cravings than I did the month prior. I attribute it to maybe an anniversary or that maybe my body is finally, you know, it's like, it's been long enough now, you can have one, you know, just one. Better yet, how about a weekend? You know, we'll go back Monday. You know, my mind works like an addict's mind. So, but I'll give you a little history where I started. I'm just like most other folks. But I was born drinking and smoking nicotine, alcohol, and I can say that, you know, it's not that I was actually drinking and smoking, but my mom, and she told me this. She drank and she smoked cigarettes while she was pregnant with me. And the night I was born, there was a big poker party, and I saw there's a picture of the room, and so I was born with a nicotine addiction. Of course, you know, I mean, I wasn't able to cure it with nicotine because I was just a baby, but there's a psychologist that I used to go see all the time that she was able to tell me that when I was 11, 12 years old, when I found my first cigarette, my body had already experienced that. So I was addicted from the first one, and I went straight to daily use regarding nicotine. And I basically went straight to daily use with everything, all of the more common mood altering substances. But nicotine was the most prevalent. It is my original drug of choice and the one that stuck with me the longest. So I guess it was, and in turn, the opposite way, I started getting away from them one by one, with the longest and the most strongest being this one, that it was its last. This is my last major addiction, at least really harmful one. I have lots of other ones that aren't quite as harmful. The internet and Facebook with friends, but I won't get into any of that. The point that I'm getting into is that this one was killing me, and I was really starting to feel the ill effects of it, and I was ready, you know. And I really think that my relationship with my higher power was really steering me into this this whole quit scenario, and the you know, I was feeling it in my prayer and meditations as much as 3 years ago that it's time to attack nicotine. So I went looking here, and I'll give it. I'm right here in Central Time, New Orleans, where everybody smokes. And anyway, I went looking for a regular Nicotine Anonymous meeting, and there wasn't one. So I went and found some people that used to have one, and they actually got together for one or two meetings just for me. And this was about 2 years ago, and we did a couple of meetings, and we were meeting at Shoney's and that sort of thing, and it became more about eating ham and eggs than about nicotine recovery. But it was my first real attempt, so I got my first Nicotine Anonymous sponsor, and I guess this was about 2 years ago. And anyway, I downloaded something from the Heart Association or something like that, and there's a contract that says, you know, I'll quit smoking by such and such a date, and you sign it, and the guy that was sponsoring me, he signed it too. And the day that I planned on quitting came and went, and I didn't quit. And it was difficult, you know. I felt inadequate and all of the depression that goes along with it for the very first time. It's not the first time. It's not the only time that I experienced that. But anyway, the nicotine, first they stopped meeting, and the fellow that was local that I used as a sponsor, he died, you know, of causes other than nicotine, but all of a sudden he was not there anymore. And it's like, well, I don't know, where do I go now, you know? And I felt hopeless, because those were the only ones in town that I knew of that were affiliated with any sort of nicotine group. And I wasn't able to do, like some of the folks in Alcoholics Anonymous were saying, yeah, just do the steps, man, just do the steps. And it was like, it wasn't working. It worked with alcohol because I was ready for that a number of years back, but, well, anyway, somehow, and I started just looking online, and I found the Nicotine Anonymous website, and they also gave directions on how to come here, you know. And so I came to a meeting, and this was about 2 years ago now, a little less than 2 years. And so I started just coming to the meeting, opening up the window, and listening to people talk. And I started hearing some things, you know, and it wasn't too far. And I heard I heard the same things that I knew from the other programs. You know, you got to get a sponsor, and meeting makers make it, and this and that and the other thing. And I would sit in a meeting, and I would smoke and listen and smoke and listen. And I did this for months, and I would just listen, and I started believing that maybe, just maybe, and my girlfriend used to laugh at me because she would be, you know, I would be sitting in the office listening to a Nicotine Anonymous meeting on the internet and smoking, and she thought that was funny, you know, because, you know, it just seemed absurd. And if you think about it, kind of is. Anyway, as I started hearing, and I'm not saying any particular thing or phrase, but I started having a little bit of hope. And after about 3 months of attending, I never said anything, never raised my hand, never attempted to talk to anyone or anything. I would just sit. Anyway, I started maybe thinking that maybe, you know, do the proactive on my end. So that's when I asked a fellow to be my sponsor, and I started talking about sponsorship and the things that we needed to do and that sort of thing. And he sent me some things on email as far as dealing with nicotine, and he also sent me the long version, Nicotine Anonymous version, of the Serenity Prayer. And I started doing what it says. I started reading it 2 or 3 times a day. And now I'm getting to the point to where I want to quit. It's 51% versus 49% on the inside of me. But I started doing it, and I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Not much here. I won't be reading, but I started to sink in. As nicotine users, we cannot change our craving for nicotine. But even if we can't change the craving for nicotine, we can accept it. And here was the thing. I wanted it to go away, and it never went away. The truth is that until we can accept our craving for nicotine, we will not stop the repetitive behavior. And I started hearing that. It started becoming part of me on the inside, I guess. That when the quit did come, I was able to tell myself that, you know, this will pass. And that's what I wouldn't do before. And the second paragraph of this Serenity Prayer, it's that simple. For example, if you're a cigarette smoker and you will not accept the craving, then you will surely light up a cigarette. And that's what I was doing for most of my life. In other words, I didn't like the way I felt. So I'm going to change it right now, my way. And nicotine being so cunning and baffling, you know, it just does it all. Y'all know the story. I don't need to tell you. If you're up, you know, it'll bring you down a little bit, bring you a little smooth. If you're down, it'll bring you up. It'll help you cope with anything. You know, if you're having a sad time, use nicotine. You know, if you're having a happy time, you can enhance it with nicotine. And for much of my life, except for the past 14 years, it went along with drinking and partying and the nightlife and all that kind of stuff, you know. And in other words, that's what I did. I smoked. It was part of my identity. And there was no doubt about it. I was a smoker. So to read this stuff regarding nicotine use and that sort of thing, you know, accepting the craving does not mean we want or like it. It's all different. This is all stuff that's new to me. To sit there and white knuckle this kind of thing, or even say this prayer, or even say the short version of Serenity Prayer, just please help me through this. I wasn't quite ready for that. So, anyway, here's the thing. Now I'm coming to Nicotine Anonymous meetings pretty regular, maybe 4, 5 of them a week, and just listening, and I would get to my spot. And I started doing a couple of times I would make these quit dates, and I would run them past my sponsor. Hey, and I'm just making up an arbitrary date, but I'd say, okay, June 1, I'm going to try and quit. And I would get on here, and you know how to, when people share time, you know, I would pop up real quick. I'd like to share a future quit date, and it would be about a week away, you know, of June 1st. And June 1st would come and go. And then it would be August, and that date would come and go, you know. And I started just feeling like, you know, I don't want to say the word, but y'all know what I mean. It just brought me down. Man, this stuff is powerful. You know, it's a lot more than that. I knew it was going to be tough and everything, but man, this was the hardest thing I've ever done, you know. Some of the drugs that I did and stuff like that, and the alcohol and all, nothing was as hard as this, you know. I mean, I was able to get away from most of the other substances, and after a couple of weeks, I had some craving cycles and that sort of thing, but nothing was like this. This was strong. I couldn't last 2 hours. You know, 3 hours. I would be at the store. just 2 minutes away from here, and I was doing what it says. You will surely light up again. And each time, I wasn't willing. I could accept the craving in theory, but not in reality, not physically. And I started hearing that and thinking about it, but I wasn't ready yet. And I would go to my sponsor and say, man, I blew right through the quit date. It didn't work, you know. And my sponsor would react and say, man, just keep coming, and it's going to work. And he would say, you're doing great. And I'm like, no, I'm not. How can you say I'm doing great? You know, I blew through 1, 2, and 3 quit dates. You're doing great. Like, I thought that was silly. I thought he was trying to be my cheerleader, you know. But I really was doing great. In other words, I was thinking about it. I was feeling, I was practicing. And that's one of the things that I was able to gain from this room, that I needed a little bit of practice before I was able to take this thing on full time. And I was able to get a few hours here and there, and I started noticing that on highway trips for work, I would not think about it, and I started realizing that sometimes 4 and 5 hours would go by while I was on the highway, and I was attributing that to my higher power, like it was a gift, and I just couldn't even see it until it was over. It's like, oh, wow, I hadn't smoked this whole period on the highway. And I didn't even miss it, you know. And I think I give my higher power credit for just a plain old gift showing me just some more encouragement to say, okay, you know, maybe we can do this thing. Maybe we can. Because I really did think I was the guy that was constitutionally incapable, and I really did think for a while there, even coming to these meetings, that I was the one that wasn't going to get it. That maybe I was just going to die smoking, and that was that. You know. And I kept that long, it's 3 pages in big font, the way I printed it. And I printed these pages out, and I would read that Serenity Prayer for Nicotine Users. I'd read it out loud again, and I would read it kind of angry because I was getting angry. It wasn't quite. I wanted this thing to work now my way, and blah. Y'all know the story. It wasn't going to happen that way. It wasn't going to happen that way. So anyway, April. I'm getting my dates mixed up. April 15th. For whatever reason of this year, and I'll share this 2 days before. It was a Saturday night, and I went to the store and I got the regular 2 packs of cigarettes, like I always did. And I was sitting there when we were going out, and my girlfriend was getting dressed, and out of nowhere, and I remember I'm going to meetings. It's kind of getting within me now. Going to meetings, I'm reading these prayers. I have the Nicotine Anonymous big book, and I was reading Roger's story, etc., etc., etc. And all of a sudden, and there was 2 fresh packs of cigarettes. I just looked at them, and I don't know where it came from, but I said, I'm going to leave you behind. And I spoke right to the 2 packs of cigarettes. And it was like, I'm saying to myself, what? Where did that come from, you know? I didn't know where that came from. It was, and I mean, now I know as the change was happening. By coming to the meetings and hearing and listening to people share, I was changing on the inside regarding how I felt about nicotine. And like I said, I didn't have a full, from my innermost self, I'm ready to quit. It wasn't like that. It was mostly 51% versus 49%. That was as much as I could muster up. And the quit itself, I have to give lots of it to sponsorship and the people that are in this room right now and the ones that were here before, just listening to them and reading the material and doing the work. And you know, I mean, I went through all of those questions in the Nicotine Anonymous book and stuff like that, and I would answer them on my own, and I was writing things down and stuff like that. So 2 or 3 days after this incident with talking to a pack of cigarettes, which sounds insane, but I am. Anyway, I woke up and it was like a Monday morning, I believe. And I didn't, I did smoke in the morning, but for some reason I didn't have any more. And I said, look, let me try and make it. And I'm thinking about those episodes that I was telling you on the highway, 4 or 5 hours. And I wasn't smoking, and I was realizing that. Anyway, I said, let me get through lunch and just not smoke. And, okay, so I went through lunch. And, man, I wanted one, you know. And then, so let me get through dinner, you know. And then I went to I went to an AA meeting that night, and I made myself stay inside the meeting, not go outside. And then I came in here, and I went to the midnight meeting, which is 11 o'clock here. And I knew that if I went and made myself go to sleep and wake up in the morning, that I would have one day, and I wasn't able to have one day ever. And I smoked for 37 years, so I never had one day ever. I never had any time in my whole adult life, because I started nicotine use when I was like 11 and 12. I didn't have any adult moments in my life without nicotine use. So I had a whole day. And I did just what I said. I went inside and I read until I made myself fall asleep. And I woke up the next morning and I knew I had a whole day. Most people don't understand. You guys probably do, but how significant that was. I had a whole day, you know. I had never had a whole day, ever. And then I did some of the same things, except this particular day, I went to the early morning meeting. I went to, there was 4 Nicotine Anonymous meetings on this particular day, and I went to all of them. And man, I wanted a cigarette so bad. And I did the same thing. I went through the hell week, you know. But I realized something. It's like, you know something? I get this day, and then another one, and then another one. I got all of them. And look, I was paying attention. I was doing with what they said. And I was going with the 5 D's, you know. Sitting there going through it, and I'm delaying, and I'm distracting, you know. And I probably had a case of water in there, and I'm drinking them all up, and I wasn't quite discussing that first particular day. And I did do a few of the deep breathing, especially in the evenings and stuff like that. It would help me to sleep or whatever. But those were things I learned in the rooms, right here, the 5 D's, you know. And I was able to, and I started using that to go ahead and just say, okay, look, I'm just not going to smoke now for the next hour. For the next 10 minutes, for the next right now, I'm just not going to smoke. You know, I'm not going to use nicotine. And I got to the point to where I could get an hour and two and three, next 4 days, 5 days. And my second week, all of a sudden, it wasn't quite as bad as the first. When I got through 2 weeks, I started realizing that, you know something? And it's like it says in the Nicotine Anonymous, in the basic text, it says, you know, maybe it's not going to be as hard as you think. And I won't say that the first week that was a true statement, but the second week, it was getting easier. And then when I got to 30 days, I realized, not that I can stay quit, but if I keep coming to meetings, I can keep doing this one day at a time. And that's what I did. And, you know, 1 month, and 2 and 3 and that sort of thing. And I started getting a little bold. I would come and share time and that sort of thing. Yeah, I got 90 days. Yeah, I got, you know, 100 days, whatever it was. But I started doing that. And that was something that I never did for most of that time of coming to these meetings. I would just sit and listen, you know. And I want to thank folks for leaving me alone and just letting me listen, not kind of bugging me and prompting me and stuff like that, because I needed to be on my time, you know. And anyway, through the quit, I started getting to the point of realizing all the things that I was starting to somebody's instant messaging me. I'm not going to answer you. Anyway, I started realizing that that some of the things that they were saying in the meetings was true about the emotions. I started feeling emotions like I had never felt before, and it was nothing like when I was getting away from drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. It was nothing like that. I realized that it was the biggest smokescreen of them all, you know, that I was still very emotionally immature and all these things, and I was, you know, I guess you could say I was very impatient and all those things that my patience was with nicotine. So here I am, I'm starting to deal with life and that sort of thing. And anger was coming through my my foot into my gas pedal of my car. And I started catching myself doing all sorts of crazy things, like, you know, flipping people off in traffic and stuff like that. And just driving really nuts, being short with people. And I will tell you that if anybody's experiencing anything like being real short and that sort of thing, keep going to the meetings and listening. It helped me a great deal make it through the times when I probably could have, I probably would have blown up on somebody or done something that might be irreversible regarding relationships. Going to the meetings and reading those prayers and stuff like that would help me on a daily basis to not do that and to keep it, you know. And other thing is, I was using my sponsor a little more, talking to him, you know. 2-3 times a week, and that's my first few months or whatever, I was more in touch than I am now. But the thing is that I was doing it. And no matter what my emotions said or did, or how it made me feel, or even if I succumbed to them, and I made some mistakes regarding that, but because of Nicotine Anonymous, I didn't make big mistakes, and I think that's the big thing about coming and being part of it. I think if I was able at some point in my life maybe to do it on my own, I probably wouldn't do it as well as being part of this group and obtaining just a little bit better sanity, even though it's insanity when you're first quitting. I did it better by coming here and listening and being part of, and my prayer life increased. It really did, because I was crazy again, you know, and I really needed a little bit more higher power in my life and that sort of thing, because I was getting very needy regarding the, how I felt and what was happening and stuff like that. And again, it was all new to me. So I'm going to say this, that through lots of recovery and lots of step work and other programs and stuff like that, I really don't think that I began growing until nicotine was gone. I'm not saying I didn't have a full knowledge of a lot of things. I did a lot of work in recovery, you know, over the years and stuff like that. And I've touched on a lot of different subjects, you know. But they were always somewhat smokescreen regarding the emotions of through nicotine. So I had to kind of rehash a lot of things, and relive some of those things, some of the recovery, because nicotine brought me to a different perspective, and lack of nicotine was different also. So the recovery, in my opinion, the recovery is better, a little more intense, and it's more life on life terms. Because most of the recovery I had done before was masked, you know. I share this when I was about 20 years old. I had it was a girlfriend's mom, and they were quitting smoking when this was a lot of years ago, and she used to refer to it as being loaded on cigarettes, you know, and now she wasn't loaded on cigarettes, and I thought that was kind of I certainly didn't get it, you know, because I could get loaded on something that you smoke, but it wasn't cigarettes. And the it wasn't until, and I thought about it, and here I was like 20, 30 years later, and I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, I finally got what that lady was saying 30 years ago, loaded on cigarettes, what, you know? And it was, you know, it was a great revelation for me, you know, that it wasn't quite about like being high on a substance, but it was just something. It was certainly a factor regarding my how I communicated with myself, you know, and how it kept me from truly being in touch with myself. And I bet you there's a lot of people that can relate to this next statement when I say that I was controlled by my emotions and yet separated from them. I think we can define that as insanity, you know. And nicotine, although it's a lot more subtle, it was a big contributing factor to being, you know, what I'd like to call fully in recovery and being fully aware, you know, from all sides, the physical, you know, the mental, the thought process, and especially the spiritual. It was certainly a buffer, and then when it was gone, it was some pretty good freedom, I guess you can say. And if, you know, if I could share that, I've never been free of it, you know. So anyway, getting to you know, 370 something days now, or something like that. I feel like if I just keep coming around here, that's going to work, you know. And I'm also into some more different recovery regarding some, you know, emotional aspects and stuff like that. That's outside of Nicotine Anonymous, but I'm able to work at it from a different, you know. From a different level, and I'm pursuing it. I mean, I really want, you know, my first sponsor used to tell me this about, you know, years and years ago, that if you don't deal with the whole ball of wax, you might as well deal with none of it. Well, I got a real shot at looking on the inside and being able to get through some of the things that, even some of the ghosts that I haven't tackled yet, you know. I come from an alcoholic home. Where everybody smoked, and everybody, you know, and when I mean alcoholic home, I'm really talking about the behavior, not drinking something or alcohol itself. I'm kind of referring to it as the dysfunction of it all, and it created some pretty serious scars back, you know, way back when, and those are some of the things that I'm dealing with. I'm not gonna get into what. Any specifics on that, but I wasn't able to get through to some of the real core issues until nicotine was gone, and I was clueless that I was unable to do that sort of thing, or I was clueless really as nicotine had the power that it did. And that's kind of what I'm trying to get to is what I'm saying is the power that it had, you know, power over the emotional aspects and that sort of thing, and power over some of the recovery that was available. I know that in the other programs and stuff like that, there's people that that live and die in a sobriety aspect, and they never stop using nicotine. And I just think that us folks in here, I think we can do better, and I think we are doing better. Cause I just know the difference from where I was even a little better than a year ago to where I am now. It's like two different things. And, I, you know, like I said, I have some number of years sober from other substances and that sort of thing. So, I kind of know the difference. You know, I share this with a lot of people. And remember, I was, even in the other 12-step programs, I was a smoker, and I hung with the smokers and all of that kind of stuff. And anyway, I've had a number of people come ask me, in 12-step arenas like Alcoholics Anonymous, hey, how did you stop? And I tell them, I go to Nicotine Anonymous meetings online, and I tell them how to do it. And I've had not just one of them say, I'm not going to do that. And it makes me laugh because it sounds silly to go on the internet to quit smoking, to stop using nicotine. And it just, it's like, you know, it worked for me. You know, you guys know me, and y'all, and most of them have known that I'm a, you know, two packs a day. You know, I smoke, or when I did smoke, it was every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, I always had one going, you know. So here people seeing me staying in the other meetings and staying inside, you know, not hanging with the gang of smokers, you know, because it's different now, you know. And I'm trying not to be a reformed smoker, but boy, look, when I smell it, I, you know, it's kind of like the refraction from alcohol too. It's like, I don't want to be around that. I don't like to smell it. My girlfriend still smokes. I don't like to smell it. And I don't even know if that relationship's going to continue. We've been together for a lot of years, but you know what? I'm leaving cigarettes behind. And I'm leaving nicotine behind. And I am going to discuss that. I tried a lot of those artificial things, and like the antidepressants and those little electronic devices, you know, the nicotine delivery. And I started realizing that I want to be away from nicotine, not just, I want to be away from all of that. And some of them are, you know, antidepressant drugs and stuff like that. I didn't want that. I understand that people can get into quits, and I'm all for it if it works, you know. But I wanted to be away from all of it, you know. And most of those things didn't agree with me anyway. I tried the different types of antidepressants, and I did not like that nicotine delivery system that simulates a cigarette or whatever with the batteries and all of the stuff. One thing that it didn't taste like, I wasn't getting it didn't taste like my brand, I guess you can say. So really all I was doing was getting a drug into my body or whatever. And okay, so maybe that's better, but it wasn't doing the trick, you know. So if it's not doing it, this is my own logic here, then I'm not going to do it, you know. And I tried it, and it didn't work, and it gave me some inflamed lungs and all of that kind of stuff, and it didn't work for me, you know. And I'm glad, because I do have some friends that are just okay using that nicotine delivery system, but they're still hooked, you know. And I think, you know, it's great that it's better. It's hell, but you know what? I'm not hooked, and that's what, you know. I have a lot of joy in that statement, you know. Right now, I'm nicotine free and have been for better than a year, and that's, you know, that's just, I mean, I need a marching band or something. I'm ready with that one. You know, it's like if I had chosen something like that, like one of those delivery systems or something like that, I would still, you know, I would still have a little ball and chain going on. And like I said, this is different. And Nicotine Anonymous and you guys and girls in this room, I mean, if it was even 20 years ago, this wouldn't exist. And I would, it's highly likely I'd still be smoking, you know. I would still be going at it. You're right, Lynn. You know, drum roll, that sort of thing. So regarding recovery, I'm the only one in my family that ever got away from cigarettes, except for the, you know, I do have a sister that never smoked. But most people died of something related to either drinking or smoking, and it's still going on or whatever. I have that kind of family. And I didn't know. You know, when I was 12 years old, I used to go and sit and stay with my grandfather in the hospital. And he was an alcoholic, and he was also he smoked two packs of Chesterfield a day. And he was in his late 70s, and I was just a kid, you know. And they would come in, and they would bring me these lung treatments or whatever. And it's like, he hadn't smoked in a couple of years because he couldn't, because of his health. And it's like, why in the world would they need to give him this? And I didn't even know that we do damage that's sometimes irreversible. And that's what I'm going to talk, you know, I think I have COPD, but I can live with that, I guess, in the fact of that I did it, and I'm feeling okay today, you know. It's part of the thing here. You smoke 37 years, you're probably not going to get away from unscathed. And it's by diet and exercise and that side of thing that my doc says that I might even be able to get away from it. But I'll tell you that I had some things that were different when I started hearing things about people, you know, having coughing things up in 2 weeks and 4 weeks and 6 weeks. And that didn't happen with me. I didn't get things breaking up, I guess, until I had almost a year. And it was all different. And I had some things that I was feeling things in my lungs, and this was with 9 and 10, 11 months clean or whatever, and with my crazy brain, I had myself convinced that I had lung cancer or something like that. Well, anyway, I don't. At least I don't think so. I'm seeing a doctor and stuff like that, and we did chest x-rays and all of that, but I was feeling things, and stupid me, I was looking on the internet at all of these symptoms, and then my mind would turn them into reality, and it's like I would be dead without even knowing it. Anyway, it's one of those things that it looks like I'm going to be all right and I'm going to live, even despite myself, you know. And that's something that I said to myself more than 20 years ago, that that I guess my real quest would be, you know, to be able to sit in meetings and non-smoking areas and all of that, and not be intoxicated, not be smoking, and be okay with it, and be calm. And I think that's the whole thing about being, you know, just being okay with myself. From the, you know, inside out, spirit out. I didn't think it was possible, you know. Recovery's been a long, long journey. And I'm really glad to be part of it. I'm glad to be sharing it with some good folks and that sort of thing. But I am the sometimes slowly guy. It takes me a long time. But as long as I arrive at some point, I feel like maybe it was worth it, you know. And this isn't a whole lot. I'm going to end with this. And this is from page 22 of the basic text of Nicotine Anonymous. And this is the final version, or the latest version, should I say. And it goes like this. It says, I have a sense of freedom that I am no longer controlled by a substance. My actions are no longer restricted by a need to do something that is not fruitful or necessary for anything except satisfaction of unimportant sensory pleasures. I am truly a grateful recovering nicotine addict because I believe nicotine is a mind-altering drug. The most important part of my freedom from nicotine is experiencing life without the veil it brought with it. I have hope now where previously there was only despair. And this has changed me profoundly. I am grateful for Nicotine Anonymous and all the gifts it has given me. And in big bold letters below it, it says, freedom at last. And that's page 22. And that's something that I read a long time ago. The first time it was only a dream, and now it's a reality. So anyway, that's all I got, and appreciate everybody listening to my story tonight. And if you're new, keep coming back. That's what they told me, and at some point, it finally did work. Thanks for letting me share, and go ahead.